are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
We are off into hour number two, towardanarchy.com, to follow along. May 22nd, you see Michael Howell as my guest. He's an author and a researcher, a speaker, and friend of the show, a friend of mine, somebody that I just love to talk to because he's one of these people that I talk about all the time that just gets it. We don't have to have a discussion about what words mean because we actually understand the meaning of words and we understand them in relation to their use in time and space and with people, and we're flexible in our understanding and we're not rigid and set in our – we don't have a particular mindset. It's funny because you'd like to think we do. You'd like to think that it's completely driven, but you heard him just defending the government and its free speeches and private property and stuff like that. You can't – there's no – you know, because one of the things that I get is that, well, Walmart is robbing me as a person because they get corporate subsidies, and so I can disrespect their property. It's mine. This is a kind of weird logic that is thrown at us all the time with when it comes to property and understanding some of these really simple ideas. And you were talking before the break about wordsmithing and about these sort of patterns of people in speaking. Please continue your thought on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you said it best. Words do have meaning. I mean, it's called spelling for a reason. I mean, when you're talking, uh-huh. You're casting a spell, so to speak. And there's other subtleties like the cursor and things like that.
Sure.
And you can get into ancient Babylonian mystery religion, you know, real quickly if you go down that road. But yeah, before we went to break, one point I wanted to make was we were already talking about social media, so debating. And here's the best way of getting truth out there. When you are debating someone online, don't talk to them. I mean, you're debating them. You're not going to change their mind. They're so strong in their belief that they are actually there debating you. Mm-hmm. Talk through them.
Yeah.
Talk to the shadow readers.
Yeah.
You know? Just use him to – what topic you want to talk about? You know, my baseline is liberty and freedom. I have no agenda, so you pick the topic. I really don't care. And that's how
my answer is going to be the same no matter what the topic is, no matter what the conversation
right?
is. It's going to come back to individualism and voluntarism.
Right. So just let him – you know, what are we debating on? You know, what did I say that you did not like? And then go from there. But never talk in a manner of changing his mind or even belittling him, because that
definitely
demeans your point
don't
as well.
Don't
yeah, because it just
time.
Makes you look bad. And
yes.
What you want is you want your message to be heard and you want your message to be received.
Yes.
So use that person you're debating. They should do it on stage all the time. I wasn't talking to my debater.
Sure.
We scheduled a debate. I mean, I'm not going to change his mind. We're there to debate each other. It was the audience I wanted. So he was just my microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
Do that on bring that to social media too.
Oh, absolutely. This is communication. This is exactly what I was talking about. This is a failure of communication. This is not about the tools. This is not about the times we live in or anything other than the association with people's inability to communicate with each other and their unwillingness to communicate with each other honestly. they're entrenched in their ideas and their positions before they come into a conversation, and so it's really pointless to talk to them about it. So you speak through them, but if you insult them, you're wasting your time because you're turning off your audience. You're turning them away from the point. If there ever was going to be any sort of connection between you and the person that you're talking to and any change in their point of view, you're certainly not going to get there by insulting them. It's about dishonest conversation that we constantly have.
I don't mean this arrogantly, but my vocabulary is way too big and my knowledge is way too vast to sit there and berate someone. I mean, I don't understand why people would do that. But, you know, I have been told I come across that way. But here's the thing. I'm direct. I'm not rude. I don't mean to be
direct.
I just don't have all time. I don't have all day to sit in front of a computer. So what are we talking about? Let's get down to it really quickly, and because the problem's real easy and the solution's even easier. The problem is some pricks in Washington and around the world want to control me, and the solution is don't let them. At the end of the day, I know I'm oversimplifying it, but what aspect do we want to talk? I mean, if we're going to talk economy, then let's quickly get there. You know, call me all these other names and tell me I'm hallucinating all this other stuff. I'm not going to respond to that. Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. What are we going to talk about?
But that's the truth. The problem is that they don't want to get to the heart of the matter because they can't have that conversation. The truth is that the conversation is beyond them in most of these cases. Let's talk about economics. Let's talk about something that's going on right now. And that you and I are both completely familiar with and completely understand and completely get. And that's the technology, the Bitcoin, this digital money, these things. I've been talking about it. You mentioned it earlier. I've been talking about it because I have a question about Bitcoin and similar coins like it, similar technologies, and that's its ability to be a long-term store of wealth. Will it in the future be something that I can take my Bitcoin back out and still have it be worth something to someone? And of course, my argument is an economic argument, and my argument is based in definitions of words and usages of these tools, these things in society. And that's what the definition of the words are. If we're talking about money, we're talking about currency, we're talking about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a currency. It can be used like money, but it is not money. And people will want to argue this point ad nauseum, as opposed to just recognize that there's still a question about the long-term stability, the long-term ability of an individual to store their wealth in Bitcoin. What is wrong with asking that question when we've watched it in the last couple of months? I bought Bitcoin. People listen to this show on a regular basis. They know that I own digital assets, and I buy them for a reason, because I'm interested to see what they do. And then the other ones are their collectibles. There's these NFTs and pictures and digital things, which I'm a collector. And so I understand these things because I've invested in them. I've been invested in them on purpose to see what they will do and see how they will act in the market and see if they are any potential for a long-term store of wealth, not even a question of utility, what they can actually be used for in the real world. But will they store long-term wealth? Well, Bitcoin has lost sort of 40% of its value, 50% of its value over the last year, and continues to be on a slide along with other digital currencies. Of course, the economy is. So all of that said, Michael, you have any idea what money is? Because I apparently don't.
Well, I think you're right, 100%. I've been following all your, I don't know if you want to label them Bitcoin posts or crypto posts, but yeah, you've been on fire. I even commented that a couple of times, and 100% right. Before we go into money versus currency, I think the misconception predates that. I don't think people understand money versus currency, obviously, but I don't think they understand value versus worth. And if they understood value versus worth, then really money versus currency kind of defines itself. But But yeah.
Well, so okay, so those are confusing words. Those are words that you're taking it to another thing, and now we got to define another word and all this. So let's just let's not do that. No, let's just money. Money has.
I'm not taking it any.
No, I know. I'm making the argument. I'm playing the devil's advocate here, the guy who's going to dismiss your argument and tell you, well, I don't want to learn about that. I want you to tell me what you think money is.
What money is money is nothing. Money is value-backed. Currency is your colonial scripts, your Federal Reserve notes, things of that nature. Austrian economics versus Keynesian economics. In a nutshell.
Right. It's you and I don't have to question this. You and I understand this. So if I take a word and I say, money or currency or fiat currency, I even make the distinction. Since money has three definitions, functions, uses, it actually makes sense to have those three things, money, currency, fiat currency, because there is currency. You can have currency that represents a real thing, and that you can trade that currency directly for. That's what the dollar used to be, right?
Well, currency is a promissory note. Money is...
Right, it was a functional tool to facilitate exchange, but then you could take that currency, that note, and you could give it back to a bank, the holders, the Fed. This is all theory. I don't know if anybody ever actually did this or not. And you could get your physical silver back for it.
Right. Money is an intangible concept. Currency is a tangible concept.
And then fiat currency is a currency that has no backing whatsoever.
Right. That would be your printout. That would be your Federal Reserve notes. And that's what separates a colonial script from a Federal Reserve note.
Right.
Or even the tally stick. Even the tally stick was back, and it was nothing but a piece of wood, literally a piece of wood split in half. The king had one half, and you had the other half. But it was more money than the Federal Reserve note.
And it was a promise.
You told a lot of people it's not going to like to hear this, but even the tally stick was more valuable than digital currency.
Then most of it, yes. That's, okay, so yes, that's right, because it's a physical thing, and it's a physical promise, and I've tried to make this real clear. The other half of the tally stick, I haven't used this example, but it's a perfect example. The other half of the tally stick is a promise. It's a store of wealth. It's a promise from the king or from the person who holds the other end of the tally stick that you will absolutely get your value, whatever it is they promised you, back when you bring them the rest of the stick. That's the point of it. That's the point of a store of value. A store of value can only exist if, no matter what else, it will always be worth something to somebody else. Gold, silver,
mm-hmm.
Salt, wood. Not necessarily a tally stick, but things that are these are physical, real things. And so somebody will argue with me. Help me with this. They'll say digital currency is backed by the electricity that creates it. Can that be possible?
Yeah, I hear that argument all the time. And ironically, it's from people who've been telling me for a decade that the government's going to take over the electrical grid. anyway, I digress.
But no, that's exactly right. It's funny that they'll ignore all these other things. They'll ignore all of it's a cult. I hate to say it. I really do.
It is.
It's a very cult-like behavior that a lot of these people are. It's like the – God, there's so many examples of it that I can't even particularly point to one. But, here's one that this may not sit well with some people, but it's like the religious hucksters, the sort of Sunday morning network TV preachers. You know what I'm talking about? These people come across to me as, and their followers – because they're purposely mm-hmm. ignoring valid questions and valid points and an entire history and understanding of what money and wealth and a store of value is, in favor of the idea that this technology that has already proven itself to be the not as good as some of the technologies that are replacing it, not secure because people have stole billions and billions of it, including the government. And there's and the proof of the ledger, the fact that how are you supposed to conduct business without government?
I know right where you're going
with there's a complete ledger of the entire transaction, the digital ledger, every time you move the money.
But my blockchain, Mike.
Man, you know what?
Come on, Mike, it's decentralized now. Come on.
Yeah, sure it is.
That's my favorite argument, too. But it's decentralized.
And I get what they're coming from. I don't want to be – I really don't want to seem flippant to these people because I love the technology. I love the blockchain. It's a beautiful thing. It can be used for a lot of things. I don't think currency exchange is necessarily going to be the best thing that it's going to be used for. I think there will be other monies and digital ideas to be able to exchange in the future that are going to make it less important that those things be on the blockchain per se. But the blockchain is an exchange of information. It's a record. It's a log. It's a way to decentralize information. If it's my information, I can take and put my information on the blockchain, and nobody else can ever take it from me. It's always there.
You bring up a good point, and exactly where I agree 100%. The technology, I don't have a problem with.
Yeah.
There's going to be a use for the technology. I don't think digital currency is the right application for the technology of the blockchain. If the blockchain is what everyone says it is, then why not use it for the voting system or other applications? It's not a digital – it's not a place for digital currency.
I get what you're trying
what people,
to do.
Oh, I do too. But it's kind of like a self-driving cars. I get what you're trying to do, but the technology is not there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's other applications for the technology, and that's all I'm saying is people are not understanding. They're praising the blockchain, so – therefore, digital currency must be good, too.
Right.
Because it's
cash but
blockchain.
Bitcoin is not the blockchain. I repeat that over and over again. Bitcoin is not the blockchain.
Exactly. That which means that this is a bad application for this technology. All right? And the reason being is for the reason that you stated. There should never be any history of any transaction. I should have private economic freedom. I should have sound currency and total private of how I use, privatization of how I use my currency. Well, that goes against the blockchain by definition.
Yeah.
So that tells me that currency, especially national currency or whatever terminology you want to use, isn't a good application for the blockchain. Now, let's keep the blockchain because we're in agreement. Now, what application can we use it for? And that's what people aren't. That's the two that people aren't associating with. They're looking at the blockchain. So everything attached to it must be right and perfect. Well, no. Just because technology is good doesn't mean the applications with the technology. Yeah. Just because you've got a good engine doesn't mean your bolt-on parts are good, too.
Yeah,
just because I have a brand-new shiny engine doesn't mean my starter's good.
Yeah.
Same thing here. We need to change all applications. So that's my problem with it. And I'm in the fetter, so I'm not for fighting. I'm not for ending one fiat currency for another fiat currency.
For another, yeah.
And for another, because, and here's another thing that people really need to grasp. Regardless of what competition sprouts up, until you cut off the head of the globalization enemy controlling the resources, nothing's going to change.
Especially when we're talking about things like digital resources, because the push is for digital IDs and to be able, and that's what the part of the, if you have
right.
to.
Let me make this point.
Go ahead.
Let me make this point because it's perfect. Until you change, and I don't care if you make me repeat this 10 times, this is the most important thing. It doesn't matter what cool technology you come out with. It doesn't matter what cool ideas we come out with. Who's going to own those?
Yep.
Okay. Until we replace those who are owning and controlling our resources, nothing's going to change. We can fight over bathroom and gender issues and all that, and you know, whatever. Nothing's going to change. We need to be fighting globalization. We need to be fighting international bankers who own your politicians. You can go fight with the puppets. He doesn't care if 320 million Americans hate him. He cares as the one globalist puppet like him.
That's right. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
TowardAnarchy.com to follow along as always. Michael Howell, this is very frustrating because you and I can sit here and we can have an honest conversation. We don't have to agree on everything, and we don't. Believe it or not, just because of the conversation you've heard over the last hour, we are agreeing a lot of things. We don't agree on every single little thing, but they're minor differences. They're not these core important things that allow us to get along in society. I think it's one of those great things. We don't have to maybe share the same religion or the same favorite television show or favorite football team. We don't have to live in the same state. We don't have to be the same color skin. None of those things have to matter for us to be able to get along and to have honest conversations with each other. And that's one of the things that I just love about getting a chance to talk with you, is because it's always an honest conversation. I know that when I listen to what's coming through these headphones when you're speaking, that I'm not being handed a line. I'm not you're not trying to wrestle my Jimmy. You're not there trying to pull my leg. You have no agenda whatsoever. You're just trying to suss out the truth in all of this confusion.
That's really all I'm doing. I got into this. I'm 47. I got into this when I was 14. And I think I said this on your show before, so I won't be long-winded or anything, but I started looking at JFK, and I was like, man, that's just nothing added up, you know, all the anomalies there. And ever since then, I just had a passion for calling it out, you know, if it walks like a duck. I guess where I'm going with it is I don't see how people are deceived by it.
Right.
I mean, they're doing it in the shadows. I get that. But that's where they're planning it at. The actions are actually out in the open.
Well, that brings the conversation full circle, doesn't it? Because you know what it is. They're denying it. They're either so distracted that they can't see it, or they're denying it because to accept it means that everything that they believed. Say you're a 47-year-old man and you've been a statist your entire life. Your parents and everybody before you, all statists, just working 9 to 5. Punching the time clock and punching the voter card every few years, and that's it, and that's all you know. And then you wake up one day at 47, and everything somebody tells you something, everything, your entire view of the last 47 years of your life is changed. Everything you thought you knew was something completely different. That's got to be a hard thing for somebody. You and I have it easy. We've been doing this since we were teenagers.
Yeah, you're right. And here's the thing. I'm probably a bad person to use that analogy on, because everything that you just described is exactly how I grew up.
Right.
I grew up in the statist family, the 9 to 5, everything, the military family, everything that you said. But at 14, you know, I was able to see it. So I understand how, you know, what if I was a 47-year-old who woke up one day and everything I believed in all. My question is, how is everyone not seeing this before? How are they being deceived into this? Because they always talk about it's being done in the dark. No, it's not. It's being planned in the dark. It's being executed in the open. Well, why aren't they seeing it when they're open? And you bring up a good point. What do, Mike? I wrote 2 books now, and I always ended both books with a what do we do? Okay, you know, what do we do chapter? Because I didn't want to bitch through, you know, 300 or 200 pages and then not offer a solution. So I've offered a solution, and it's so simple, and it's nothing more than what we've already talked about. Free
and
market,
it's not a meme.
Don't comply. And it's not a meme.
It's not a meme. That's it. Don't comply.
And the Fed. In the Fed, number one. I mean, seriously. I don't want in the Fed to become another cool slogan to say.
That's right.
I don't
it's
want
not
the,
a meme. That's I don't exactly want the what I'm meaning. Saying. It's not a meme. This is a cry for economic freedom. There is something substantial behind the Fed's existence.
Oh, I'm not crying to end the Fed. I'm pleading. I'm begging. I mean, I'll let you. I'll be the one who takes the fall, whatever it takes, so that we end this generational thievery, this generational Ponzi scheme, whatever we have to do. I'm past asking and crying to end the Federal Reserve. But when we say, you know, I'm pleading at this point, when we say in the Fed and we put it on signs and shirts and things like that, it's cool. And don't get me wrong, you know, I love that graphic. Mm-hmm. But I don't want the meaning of that to get lost. And if we end the Fed, it's a domino effect. If we end the Federal Reserve, we end the Rockefeller Foundation, we end chemtrails, we end the dirty vaccination program, we in, you know, our health care, our big pharma, and it's a domino effect. And it really is as simple as taking back our economic freedom. It really is. 1918 is the most recent case, and, you know, that's the creature, or 1913, that's a creature from, that's the Federal Reserve Act, but it actually predates a couple of central banks prior to that. And that is the goal. They have us fighting, they have us doing all of this conquering division, bull crap, all because of banking. And when you say that, people roll their eyes. Really? You know, yes, it really is that simple. This is a global agenda of non-government officials running the world's resources. And this isn't about your beliefs. When we control the world's resources, then I worry about your beliefs. But the people who are controlling the world's resources and monetary systems and the global agenda, they do have an agenda.
Yeah, they do. We got to go to a break.
Right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Well, we kept him captive for an hour, and we'll keep him for a couple more minutes to let you get back to Melissa and your real life here, Michael. Just any last thoughts, anything you wanted to squeeze in there before we send you back to the real world? Because I don't know. I hate to beat a dead horse, and I don't even know what to say anymore. I've done this so long, and I've had so many of these conversations, and they end up the same way, regardless of where I began at the beginning of the conversation. By the time I reached the end of it, I've made every change. I've made every effort to be on the the right side of having a conversation. You know, just that that simple notion of I'm participating in the conversation, I'm giving and I'm taking, I'm allowing myself to be open to new ideas if they're expressed. I've done all those things and it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed anything. The people still respond the same way. They're still set in their ways. They're still set in their ideas. So, again, it's not about talking to these individuals. And this was the point that I really wanted to come back and stress with you, because we are talking about communications here, regardless of any of the other complicated ideas that may underlie our problems in society and politics and in our economy. We're talking about people and their ability to converse and their willingness to listen to and understand other people. And we're failing to do that. We're never going to get to the point of agreeing to end the Fed or anything like that if we can't even just have a decent conversation with each other without lying to each other, without lying to ourselves.
Whenever I research a topic, I always start with a blank sheet of paper. And I don't go with theories and I don't go with ideas or whatever on one column. It's nothing but facts. And then I analyze those facts. And you know what? A lot of times those facts go against what I want to believe or what I thought, you know. And it shouldn't be a hard pill to swallow, because knowing the truth should be a revelation. It should be a joyous thing. You shouldn't be defensive. You shouldn't be on defense for defending a wrong plan or a wrong idea. You should be grateful that you were taught the right idea, the right thing, you know. So I don't know what the idea is. I do know what it's going to take, but I don't see it happening. And one thing I always talk to Melissa about is it's going to take a generational sting. It's going to take that generation that says, you know what, the Fed is illegal. This is a Ponzi scheme. This is unconstitutional. We're going to end it by all means necessary. And you've got to remember what we're going up against. People think we're going against elected politicians every 4 years, and we're not. We're going against a global agenda, a global elitist. So it's going to take a generational sting. And what I mean by that is it's going to take someone to completely, a generation of everyone, to want to remove themselves from this corrupt entity that wants to, you know, go against it by whatever means necessary, because they do want to protect the future generations' economic decisions and policies and futures. So is it likely? No. And that's where the rise in the love of crypto came from, because they thought that they were actually competing against the Fed. And they're not. No. They're replacing one fiat with another that's eventually going to be taken over by the international bankers. So, I mean, it's whether they do it through the electricity or whether they do it through ownership of it or whether they're the ones who actually own the blockchain is irrelevant. They're going to end up with it. That's why I say we need to go after them first, and then we own the technology. Then we can decide what to do with the blockchain and all that. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, it's a good point. It's one, I'm right there with you. I'm frustrated. I keep going back to free market. I mean, we could have ended Mark Zuckerberg a decade ago. We could have ended Twitter's bot situation a decade ago. We all knew they were stealing our information. We all knew they were selling it. That's part of the Patriot Act. Ed Snowden came out and told us as part of the PRISM program. We all knew it. We still gave him billions and billions and billions of dollars, and we made Twitter now valued at $45 billion. So, I mean, we did it to ourselves. It comes back to free market. You know, we know the Federal Reserve is robbing us, but where is the group with the guts and the glory and the pride to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm ready.
Yeah,
I can't go by myself. I mean, and I know there's a bunch of us like-minded people, but I want everyone. I want this to be a revolution, not a war. A revolution is when you know who your enemy is. A war is when you're told who your enemy is. We should be in a revolution. We know who the enemy is, and it's not our neighbor. It's not our business. Not even our corporations. Most of them are bought and sold by a handful of people, globalists anyway. We always talk about six people owning all the media, you know. We know what the problem is. We just continue to feed them. We sit down and we watch their programs. We log into their social medias, and we fight each other over them while we generate them more money. So I don't know. I mean, until we want a revolution, we're not going to get one. We're going to continue to be driven towards a civil war.
Yeah, and I think that the only thing that we can do about that is that people like ourselves, people who realize that this is what is happening, is that we have to detach ourselves from the system. I don't know if you caught any of the beginning of the show before you joined the conversation, but this weekend, yesterday, I spent sort of 3 hours of the day hanging out with the wife, watching a George Carlin documentary on HBO, and it was just sort of a wonderful thing because I really don't know a lot about him. You know, I understand that he had some amazing ideas and jokes and thoughts and things, and I've listened to some of those and found them very hilarious. And I consider him one of my own sort of keys to awakening. But that was even later in my life. You know, I was already an adult out of high school, that kind of thing, before I caught my first George Carlin special. And then I had to go back and learn all these other things about him. And so much of it in this George Carlin's American Dream, that's the name of the documentary on HBO Plus. And it was just so great to see him. He seems to think a lot of the ways that I do as far as these things are concerned, and by the time he came out the other side of his life, he was able to just say, look, I'm done with all of this. I don't care what you people do with your society, with your government, with your politics, none of it, your schools, your wars, I don't care about any of it. Just I'm not going to participate in it. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to watch it for the entertainment value that it is. And I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to continue to say the things that I say and be who I am and leave those little seeds. And if people get it. And they don't, they don't. I don't care.
George Carlin was way ahead of his time. And I was listening to the show since the beginning. I heard you talk about him whenever he talked about you'd have to be asleep, because that's why they call it the American Dream, because you'd have to be asleep to believe it. But he also has another famous line, and one of them is, it's a big club and we ain't in it.
Yeah.
And he was right. George Carlin was way ahead of his time politically. And one more, I think you said you were just getting into him or hadn't been into him long, but look up George Carlin.
I'm just
Carlin
not as deep into him. I'm a bad fan. I want to be entertained. I don't care who George Carlin was in real life necessarily. I just want to be entertained by his. Now that I know about him in his life more than I ever did before, it's great. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. I feel closer to the man than I ever did knowing it. But I don't need to know it to entertain his work or be entertained by his work and see the value in the things that he says. I try to express that to people all the time.
Well, what I was going to say is one of the funniest things that he ever did was when he talked to the National Press Club.
Okay.
And he pointed out how ridiculous basically everything that me and you saying, but in a comedic way, in a way only George Carlin could. And he was so good at that because he's talking to a room full of press writers. You know, I would love to be talking to a room full of press writers.
Mm-hmm.
They use that time to, in a comedic way, to talk about how silly all this is. You know, and he turned around on them, words that the press uses. You know,
that's one of the things that always got me about the Carlin thing is that I found him later, after I'm already set in these ideas, obviously. And it just reinforced my ideas, and it helped me break some of my thoughts about some of these things for sure. But they didn't change my mind. He didn't change my mind about anything.
Me neither.
Yeah. Right.
He brought more of a comedic way to what I already knew. Or, you know.
Right, and put a sort of scientific method to the analysis of these ideas, and a lot of it was done for fun, and a lot of it is silliness, you know, sort of like hysterectomy should be hersterectomy. It's, you know, obviously hysterectomy has nothing to do with his and hers, as it goes, even though it's a procedure that's done on women. You know, jokes like that, but there's the more important aspects. He would do all those jokes. This is one of the things they pointed out, is that he would do all these jokes, but it was the last 20 minutes It was the last 20 minutes. That's what he wanted you to remember, what he wanted you to know. And that's when he would, this was what it was all about, you know, sort of wrap it up in that time and really lay down those thoughts. And at the end of it, it was really dark. It was actually those same thoughts. It was sort of, go ahead, blow yourselves up. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a way of coming across that was very comedic and to the point. He was ahead of his time in many ways.
Well, and he didn't sacrifice the use of words to stupid people. And that's something that I myself, it's a lot of what I do. Let's talk about these words. Let's talk about the importance of words. Let's talk about you fooling yourself into believing because you use a different word that you're saying something different or that you're doing something fundamentally different than what everybody else is doing. Let's stop playing that word game. And if we're going to have to talk about words, here's a great place to start with the definition of them, and maybe if we can agree on that, maybe we can just move a little bit further forward, or maybe let's laugh at the words and find a new way to talk about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no communication. There's no honest communication.
No, and, there isn't.
You know, like you said, beating a dead horse. It all starts with intellectual revolution, but you can't have one until you want one, and you and I's been begging for one for years now. Mm. You know, it's just everyone has to want to. What's it going to take before everybody sees? I don't know.
Well, and then get disappointed because we run into a bulk of people who supposedly have these same ideas and these same values, and they want that same honest conversation, supposedly. At least that's what they appear to on the top. But then when you start really trying to have a conversation with some of them, they turn out to be just like everybody else, and they're just as dogmatic and set in their ideas and values to the opposite, against the system, against whatever it is that they're against, that they're just flipping the same coin over and over again. Nothing
yep.
ever changes. It's just the 50-50 shot that they're going to be talking about the other thing and look at it a different way, and that's it.
A lot of people who used to hate the government and love free markets are now begging the government to come in and regulate social media activity. I don't get mm-hmm. it.
Don't get it.
You know,
don't understand it.
The only other option is a free market. So, I mean, those are your two options.
Well, I guess that, to me, that says that these people don't understand it. And I thought about doing that all today. This is talking about economics and common sense. That's what we've been talking about today, really. And those are things, the economic understanding and a little bit of common sense are something most people clearly don't have. I keep trying to give people credit for it. I keep trying to say, hey, you know, I get your situation. I see your point of view. But they never, I don't know, they never give back.
Well, there's a difference in knowing and understanding. And the problem economically is a lot of people know economics, but they don't understand economics.
Okay, fair enough.
If they understood economics, they'd, like Henry Ford said, they'd be rebelling the streets by the morning. But they know economics. And a person who knows economics is dangerous because they believe in parameters. You know, they believe in the parameters of the current economic system. When a person who understands economics wants to blow up the parameters because it's illegal, it's immoral, it's wrong. So if you know economics, you're really dangerous because you stay within those parameters. And you're like, well, you can't do this because of that, or, you know, economic theory predicts this, and you stay within that model. But if you understand economics, you're like, this is illegal. This needs to be blown up. These parameters need to be expanded. They need to be gone. So too many people know economics and don't understand it at this point.
Well, I love nothing more than to hear a story of someone who is a, if you will, classically trained economist, their understanding of the economy is very much in tune with the Keynesian leftist socialist. It's not leftist, it's socialist. The Keynesian socialist model. I love nothing more than when they break out of that. Hear a story about how they break out of that and how they find, oh, well, okay, well, wait a minute. You know, yeah, we're talking about the same sort of definitions and things at the start, but by the time we get to the other side of the conversation, we're talking about two entirely different models of economics, things that have no relation to real world function and action. And because of the fact that they don't, you have to look at the system using those economic theories and understand that it's using them on purpose because it benefits from them, and which means that you and I do not benefit from them.
Right. Yeah. Every economist is taught those theories because they're taught within, kind of like science is contained, the mainstream science is contained within a standard model. Yeah, theories and you know, expansions in the quantum science and things like that, which step outside of your standard model. But for the most part, economists are taught a model to stay within. So when you step outside that model, it looks like you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Because they're taught, you know, this is the economic system. Well, what I'm telling you is the economic system itself is immoral, is illegal, is wrong. Yeah. So right off the bat, we're coming from two different parameters.
This is what happens. So you tell them that, and they're saying, well, that's your capitalism. That's your money. That's your currency. That's this, that, and the other thing.
Well,
you say, wait a minute. No, those are tools that have been hijacked. You are sacrificing our tools, our understanding, the very things that we use to get by and succeed and to do business with each other every single day. You're sacrificing them to those who would use them against you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Always thought if you can't say it better than someone else, quote them and give them credit for it. So all I can say is, yep. I mean, we fund our own tyranny. At the end of the day, brother, we fund our own tyranny. And we laugh about it, you know? I mean, not me and you. I'm just saying in general society, we laugh about it. You know, I mean, we make memes
anecdotal.
Out of it.
Lawyers suck. Lawyers are criminal. The politicians are stealing from us. The IRS is bad. Bankers are evil. These are all anecdotal things that society understands but does not accept.
Yep. Yep. I mean, they can quote you everything. They can quote you the same stuff that we've been saying and will still deny. Well, that's the only thing we have right now. Yeah, that's the only thing we have right now because it's the only thing we continue to allow. You know, it all goes back to that intellectual revolution. Do not, and it doesn't. It's not violent. It's just do not comply. I mean, I hate to reduce a solution to three words, but it really is as simple as do not comply. Without us complying, then it's nothing more than their ideas. We
right?
turn their ideas into action.
Into actions. That's right. There are no warlords. There's just a guy that a bunch of other people are willing to carry out his deeds, his actions, his thoughts, whatever it is. They do it for him. He can't do it alone. The idea of the capitalists, the corporations taking over, they can't do it alone. They need your help.
Nope.
You have to. It, perfect example, the whole Zuckerberg thing, the whole Facebook thing. You don't like him. You don't like what he has to say, but you're still there. You're still in his space. It's a weird thing.
Well, it's not even about Facebook with them. It's about their audience.
Yeah.
Like I said, if they really practice what they preach, they would be at the other platforms that the free market has provided by liberty-supporting people.
To be fair.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying we could be having this talk there, generating those people money who provided the solution to us. But we're not. We're on Facebook arguing about how Mark is censoring us. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, to be
you know,
it's a waste of time.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they're not going to change. They're not going to leave. They're scared of losing their audience. You know, I always say if you make stuff that people want to, if people want to learn from you and want to hear what you have to say, they'll follow you.
Yeah.
If they don't, then they were never your audience anyway. So.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a very good point. These things, they become entrenched. These ideas become entrenched, and people want foundation. Most people want a foundation, a safe place to stand, a solid place to stand that just doesn't exist in the world. The only
life is social media.
Yeah, so it's just another fake reality that they're living in. It's another fantasy land. They already live in a fantasy land. It's already this world full of fake ideas and fake people. But then they dive in and spend their time really surrounded in it. And the worst ones are not the ones who do that. That's just who they are. That they just want to participate. It's the ones who pretend that that's not what they're doing. Those are the ones that get me. The Wheelies, you mind?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. Well, we are coming up to the end of the show, believe it or not, already. I kept you much longer than I said I would, but I appreciate you taking the time to come and hang out with me, man. It's always great getting to talk to you, and I always love to hear what you and Melissa are up to. You guys are doing well.
Oh, we're still doing good. We're still fighting the tyranny and trying to kick tyranny in the mouth and promote liberty and doing our thing, really.
I love to see it. Yeah, that's it. Just doing your thing. Just being you.
One thing I wanted to talk to you about is keep posting your drums, man. I drool every time you post them. I'm a guitarist, and we've had this conversation before, but we need to get together and jam sometime.
Damn. I'm building. That'd be great.
I know you got to cut me off and everything, but I am building my dream guitar. So when I get it built, I want to come jam with you. But I'm building a 1952 Fender Telecaster Blackguard.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I love heavy it. Heavy relic and everything. So on a side note, brother, we got to do some jamming. So.
Yeah, I would love to do that. That'd be so fantastic. I've been itching to find some people to play with the new drum set and everything. Yeah, I don't know a lot of people here in Topeka. I've been here about 8 years, and I know people, but I don't know anybody who are instrument players. Musicians. I'm not sure if they're the same thing. Sometimes they are. I'm an instrument player. I'm not certain I'm a musician.
We all are.
Make some noise.
We all are.
Yeah. God, I love the whole music thing, because for me, it's so much about our potential as people. Because it's a thing that's steeped in mystery. You know, people, musicians and artists and people who create things, they're steeped in mystery. And I'm a musician and I'm an artist and I'm someone who creates. And to me, these things are not mystery. They're actually quite core and fundamental and come fairly easy to me. The only difference is that I purposely practice them, so I may be better at it than some other people. But there are so many things... There's so much value in the holding of and the learning to play an instrument and the connection between the body and the mind and even the spirit, because there's a spiritual understanding that exists in music and how we share it with each other. And I love the whole instrument thing. And if I could convince everybody to play an instrument, I would.
Me too. At any age, young, old,
yes,
midlife, it doesn't matter. Pick up an instrument. And I have fallen in love with a ukulele again. And I'll tell you what, that's a fun. That's a
it
fun
is.
Instrument.
My daughter plays the ukulele. My middle daughter plays it. We bought her one a few years back. She started playing it in junior high. Brother, it's so great getting to talk to you, but I got to let you go. We got to get out of here.
Me too, man. Talk soon.
All right. Take care, my friend. And come back next week. And until then, take care.
Someone threw a Molotov cocktail into the office of a pro-life group in Wisconsin. The official White House statement said, "President Biden strongly condemns this attack and political violence of any stripe." First of all, official statement, President Biden couldn't comment himself. Second, someone throws a firebomb and this administration strongly condemns the action. But speak out at a school board against critical race theory in elementary school and you're a domestic terrorist. The MAGA movement is the most extreme political movement in our country has ever seen. Defend yourself during a riot and you're a racist. January 6th attendees are held under the jail without due process for attacking democracy itself. Firebombing a pro-lifer, strongly condemned. This administration is a partisan blend of hyperbole and hypocrisy. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com until tomorrow. See this Pacem Parabellum.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.